Okay, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for accommodating my 15-minute time difference this morning. I apologize for the change in schedule. I have an appointment in Woodmere at 10:15 that I absolutely cannot change and then have a choice. So I really try to stick to schedule if it is in my control. I appreciate you working with me. Happy Tu B'Shvat to everybody. I decided to tie in the partial learning to Tu B'Shvat, given in Yanei Diyoma. I just want to dedicate this year's Refuah Shleima for people that I know or know their families who are ill with COVID and in need of Rachami Shemayim. So Shir should be a Schus Refuah Shleima for Yechiel ben Ita, Rivka bas Mina, Simcha Tuvia ben Avigail Pesha, and Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Avram Yoshua Heschel ben Tavor Lea, they shall all be Zocha to Rachami Shemayim, Arichus Yamim and Shanim, complete Refuah Bekarov. It is also Parshas B'Shalach. Parshas B'Shalach is the week every year that I remember my grandfather, Yitzchak ben Moshe, his first daughter's birthday week. My grandfather was a Talmud of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. He was from Krasnik, Poland. He got married a few months after the Germans invaded. He got married in the winter of 1939. And in Parshas B'Shalach 1941, his wife gave birth to a daughter. They named her Devorah after the Haftorah of the prophetess Devorah. And she was born in Parshas B'Shalach, 1941. In his memoirs, he doesn't write after that about his wife or daughter. So since the Germans came in 39, we assume that she was killed very quickly at some point after birth. And I can't say the neshama should have an aliyah. That's for sure. It doesn't need an aliyah. But a zechira, there should be people who remember that such children were born and murdered simply for being Jews. So I want to focus on a section of the Parsha that I'm going to connect to B'Shvat. It is Parshas B'Shalach, as I said. Parshas B'Shalach is very famous because Parshas B'Shalach is Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Reed Sea, the miraculous salvation of the Bnei Yisrael, the drowning of the Egyptians. Finally, Parshas B'Shalach, Perek Tazayin, also has the Man. The man falls for the first time in this week's parasha. Perek Yud Zayin is Mechamis Amalek. So I find it significant that it's the week that my grandfather had his child. Parshas B'Shalach is the week that Amalek comes and attacks Israel. I'm going to focus on a very small section of the parasha. I'm in Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Chaf Beis. I will read the Pesukim to you. It is right after Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf is so significant that every morning in our davening, whether it is the Yemos HaChol, or whether it's Shabbos, or whether it's Yom Tov, or whether it's Tisha B'Av, on all days of the year we sing Az Yashir, which is the glorious salvation that God saved us. And right after Shirat Hayam, the song by the sea, the Pasuk says, Tesvav Chaf Beis, Vayasa Moshe et Yisrael miyamsuf. Moshe caused the children of Israel to journey from Yamsuf. Why doesn't it just say they journey? Why doesn't it say Moshe made them journey? So Rashi says, Gadol Bizas Hayam min Bizas Mitzrayim. There were so many spoils by the sea that were washing up on the seashore, because Rashi says the Egyptians adorned their horses with gold and silver and jewels and pearls and gems. And after they all drowned, it was all washing up on the shore. And therefore the Bnei Yisrael were collecting all the bounty, all the loot by the seashore. So Moshe had to make them journey. Okay, Vayetu amid Bashur, they entered into the wilderness of Shur. Vayelchu shloshes yamim b'midbar, they walked for 3 days in the desert. Velo matzu mayim. Mayim is a recurring theme in the story of the Israelites in the desert. I also forgot to say that in Perek Yud Zayin, this week's parsha, Moshe strikes the rock. As per the word of God, the people don't have water. Moshe strikes the rock in this week's parsha. Water comes forth. The sin is in Chukas when he's supposed to speak to the rock 40 years later. So Mayim plays a very big role in the people's life and times in the desert. They walk for 3 days in the desert and they do not find any water. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayavau Marasa, they come to a place called Mara. Velo Yochu Lishto Mayim Mimara, they cannot drink the water from Mara. Kimarim Haim, for they are bitter. Al Kain Kara Shemo Mara, therefore this place is called Mara. Vayalonu ha'am al Moshe lemer. And the people complained. What do the people do in the desert every time they're in trouble? They scream at Moshe. Amosha davens to Hashem. They complain to Moshe and they say, Manishteh, What are we going to drink? Pasuk Chaf Hei. Vayitzak El Hashem. So Moshe calls out to God. Targum Unkus explains that Moshe davins. Vayorehu Hashem Eitz. God showed him a tree. So I decided to do this section, these psukim. I'm going to be quoting some insights that I prepared and mefarshim that I never looked at before. Because here we talk about the tree being thrown into the water to make the water sweet and palpable for the people. And of course, today is Rosh Hashanah La'ilan. The Mishnah says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Aleph, Perek Av Mishnah Aleph, that according to Beis Hillel, Rosh Hashanah La'ilan is today on Tu Bishvat. So the water is bitter. The people scream at Moshe. They've gone 3 days without water. Moshe prays to God. God shows him a tree. Vayorehu Hashem Eitz. God shows him a tree. Vayishalach el hamayim. He throws this tree into the water. Vayimtaku hamayim. And the water becomes sweet. And then the pasuk says, Sham sam lo chok u'mishpat v'sham nisahu. There God gave them a chok, a statute, a mishpat, judgments, and there he tested the people. So Rashi says, we got a few mitzvos at Marah. We had the mitzvos of Shabbos were given at Marah, Shabbos before Parashas Yisro. Shabbos was given at Marah, Para Aduma, red heifer, that's the chok, and finally dinin, monetary law. So we got three mitzvos, Mitzat Parashio Metorah, says Rashi, a few of the mitzvos at Marah. So we understand that throwing the tree of Torah, Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim b'avasom chayam b'ushar, throwing the tree of Torah into the bitter water made it sweet. Torah makes our life sweet. The water becomes palpable and the people have a series or a section of mitzvos, v'sham nisahu. So this is the passage I decided to focus on because Moshe takes a tree. And it's the tree that makes the water sweet. So I'm going to begin by quoting the Ramban, Nachmanides. The Ramban is to Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf Hei. What am I saying, Perek Beis? Perek Tesvav, 1525, okay? So the Ramban writes as follows. I don't know why I said that. I wrote down in my notes 225. That's a mistake. 225 is when Hashem wakes up from his sleep, so to speak, and he hears their affliction and hears their cries. Okay, 1525. So the Ramban says as follows, Vata'am, and the reason, Vayorehu Hashem Eitz, right? They come to Mar, they can't drink the water, it's very bitter, the people scream at Moshe, Moshe calls out to God, God shows him a tree. What does that mean? Vayorehu Hashem Eitz. Vata'am Vayorehu Hashem Eitz. Vayimtaku Hamayim. What does it mean that God showed him a tree and the water became sweet? Shehera also ate. The Ramban says, Pshat, he showed him a tree. Va'amarlo, and God said to Moshe, Hashlecha etaza el hamayim, take this tree. They're in the Midbar Shur, they're in the desert, there's some kind of nace, a tree appears. God said, throw this tree into the water, v'yimtaku hamayim, and the water will become sweet. And now the Ramban addresses the word vayorehu. What kind of word is vayorehu? Vav, yod, vav, resh, hey, vav. If you want to say he showed him a tree, say her'ehu et ha'etz. That's not what it says. So now the Ramban talks about the linguistics of this word. Uba'avur shalom matzati l'shon mora ela b'inyan limud. The Ramban says in all places in Torah, you don't have the word moreh. Vayorehu's from the word mora, moreh. Kimisham totse hora'ah. It's from the word instruction, like Torah. Mora is a teacher. You don't find this word moreh, which is the root of vayorehu, only in regard to limud, to teaching. So the Ramban says vayorehu Hashem each has something to do with vayorehu Hashem eitz, vayashlech al hamayim, vayimtuku hamayim has something to do with teaching. Okay, so the Ramban brings a proof from Mishlei, and it means lamdeini, teach me. V'chein kulam, every time you find the root of this word, it means to teach. Nira Eli, therefore, says the Ramban, it appears to me, b'darach ha'pshat, ki ha'etzahu, yamti kamayim b'tivo, it appears to me that Hashem showed him or taught him what to do with the tree, that this tree would sweeten the waters naturally, so maybe it was some kind of sweet tree, and throwing it into the bitter water would make it sweet. V'hu segulabo is a certain type of charm. A segula, not today like we understand segulas to put a key into the challah. No, there's some kind of charm or power in this tree. Vili made oto lemosha. So that's why vayorehu, Hashem taught him the kind of tree it was, and they're putting the tree into the water, the segula quality of the tree, would make the water sweet, Vilimeid. Oh, told Moshe, God taught this to Moshe. That's why the Ramban says, Vayorehu. Furthermore, now he quotes the rabbis in the Mechilta and Medrash Tanchumim, still in the Ramban. Amru, the rabbis say, interesting, listen to this. And when I was preparing for the shir, I saw this brought down by a lot of the Mefarshim. I'm going to be quoting the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachaya. However, a lot of the Mefarshim quote this teaching of the Medrash. Shahaya ate mar. It was a bitter tree. He threw a bitter tree. Again, many of the Mefarshim, if you look in the Mikras Kadosh, you will see write this. I'm just quoting the Ramban. But they quote, Shahaya ate mar. He threw a bitter tree into bitter water, and it made the water sweet. And therefore, v'hu neis b'toch neis. It was a miracle within a miracle. Why is it a miracle in a miracle? Because if you put something bitter into bitter water, it should be doubly bitter. It shouldn't become sweet. If you put something sweet, you put maple syrup tree into the water. You put a citrus tree into the water, orange. It should become sweet. But if you put lemons into bitter water, it'll be sour and bitter. So it was a neis b'toch neis. And perhaps that's one of the reasons how we could understand. Someone posted something on the chat. I'm checking in case you can't hear or something's wrong with the volume or I need to know what someone said. The mitzvah of kibbud av eim. Oh, I know what you're asking. Okay, it depends on the girsa of Rashi. It's a machlokas. The question was, did they get kibbud av eim by Mara? It's a machlokas. Was did Rashi write Chof Aleph or Pei Aleph? They got Ktzat Parshio Batorah. The question was from Mrs. Feiner, did they get Kibbud Av Eim by Mara? So it's a machlokes of what Rashi wrote. He wrote Roshei Tevos. Did he write Chof Aleph, which stands for Kibbud Av Eim, or Pei Aleph, which stands for Para Aduma? Okay? Para Aduma is a chok. Sham Samlo Chok U'Mishpat V'Sham Nisahu. Red Heifer is a chok that doesn't make sense, so we would say that the chok is Para Aduma, but you are correct. There are those who say it was Kibbud Av Eim because we're not sure if it was Pei Aleph or Chof Aleph. Okay, going back to this Ramban, quoting the Medrash, like many Mefarshim do, that it was a bitter tree in bitter waters. I'm coming to the point that was I'm addressing the question that was just asked. Perhaps we could understand why Para Aduma was given now in Mara, because the miracle of a bitter tree making bitter water sweet doesn't make sense either. It's also a chok. It should not be. Just like Para Aduma does not make sense. Para Aduma doesn't make sense. Why? Because it is Metahar the Temehim. It makes Metahar the Temehim. It makes the impure pure. And it is Metame the Teharim. And it makes the pure ones impure. So Para Aduma also is a law that to our rational minds does not make sense. So perhaps this miracle within a miracle helps us understand why Para Aduma was given at Mara. Mara is represented, and the name itself is bitter. A bitter tree that made bitter waters, Vayimtaku, sweet. And therefore we see that not everything, most things, cannot be understood by the human mind. You can't understand how bitter tree makes water bitter, bitter water sweet. You can't understand how the red heifer works. It's in Parshas Chukas of the book of Mabidbar. You also can't understand most of the workings of the Ribono Sha'olam. So that's the first thing the Ramban says. He taught him. Vayorehu Hashem Ich, he taught him what to do. Then the Ramban quotes the Medrash that he threw a bitter tree into bitter water. The Imkein Amar Vayorehu, says the Ramban, therefore, it says Vayorehu, he taught him. Ki lo hayaha eitz nimtza b'makom hahu. This kind of tree is not naturally found in this place. V'akadosh Baruch Hu haruhu et mekomo. The Baruch Hashem showed him the place of the tree. Or it appeared to him through a miracle. So the Ramban is reiterating the tree does not naturally grow in Midbar Shur, and it was some kind of miracle that Hashem showed him the tree. And then the Ramban concludes and says, Vayorehu Hashem ate. Hashem taught him about the tree. Vayarehu lo nemar. It doesn't say God showed him the tree. Ela vayorehu. He taught him. Haro darko. Hashem taught him his ways. Hashem taught Moshe his ways. Kromer shahuro velimdu darko shalkos baruch hu. Hashem showed him and taught him the ways of the Almighty. What are the ways of the Almighty? Shehu mamti kamar b'mar. Listen how the Ramban ends. Third pshat. So first the Ramban tells us, it doesn't mean he showed him a tree, it means he taught him what to do with the tree. Because you don't find anywhere in Chumash, Vayorehu moreh, Morah, Hora'ah means instruction. And Masbi not just stam, he showed him the tree, he instructed him what to do with the tree. Second shot, this year started at 9:15. Someone just asked, an email went out through the Young Israel of Woodmere. I had to make a time change this week due to an appointment. It was also posted on my WhatsApp status. Okay, let's go. The change is only for this week. If you missed the beginning of Shir because you were not aware of the time change, Be'ezrat Hashem, you can catch it on YU Torah, the first 15 minutes. So the first shot of the Ramban is he taught him what to do with the tree. The second is quoting the Medrash that he made the water sweet using a bitter tree, which was a miracle. Bitter tree, bitter water, sweet water. It was a nace. And finally, the Ramban ends and says, Hashem taught him his ways. Vayorehu Hashem means God taught Moses his ways, God's ways. Klomar, what are the ways of Hashem? Shehorahu v'limdo darko, he showed him and taught him his ways, the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shehu mamti kamar b'mar. Hashem can sweet and bitter with bitter. I think we should take a lot of chizuk from that last statement of the Ramban. This has been a very difficult year for many, many reasons, and it's ongoing. One of the names that I dedicated this year for Refuah Shleima, Simcha Tuvia ben Avigaya Pesha. He's 40 years old. He's a father of 7 children. He lives in Eretz Yisrael in desperate need of a Refuah Shleima. I know his mother very well. She learns with me for many years at my Shari Shir. There's a lot of bitterness today that we do not understand. Just like we don't understand how Mar could make Mar Matok. Just we don't understand how the ashes of the Para Aduma could make one person impure and one person pure. We also don't understand the ways of Hashem. But Hashem, Vayorehu Hashem Eitz, Hashem taught him Darko, his own ways. Shahu Mamti Kamar Bamar. That sometimes the salvation, the sweetness, comes when things are so bitter. And it seems there's even more bitter added in. Shuhu mamti kamar bimar. If I put in bitter tree, how's the water going to come sweet? But the Ribbono Shel Olam, whose ways are beyond us, can make sweetness even when mar is added to mar. So these are the 3 explanations of the Ramban. And I think they contain a strong Mr. Haskell for all of us. Alvai, we should be zocha to see the matok from the double dose of Mar. I'm sure you're following the news, the variant strains. There are now many young people in Eretz Yisrael sick, including pregnant women, newborn infants. We daven that from all the Mar, by yimtuku hamayim, it should become sweet. Now I'm going to the Rabbeinu Bechaya. The Rabbeinu Bechaya is to 15:22. Pes Vav Chaf Beis. Vayelchu Shloshes Yamim. I'm just going to repeat the psukim for you. Remember, They are forced to journey from Yam Suf. We already explained the Rashi. They go into the wilderness of Shur. They walk for 3 days. Velo Yashtu, Velo Matsu Mayim. They don't find water. So it says they walk for 3 days. Okay. The Rabbeinu Bechaya is going to address that. Could a whole nation with women and children really go for 3 days without water? Nobody's died yet in the desert. Remember, it's the spring. It's hot. How's that possible? They can't drink the water. It's bitter. They complain. Moshe davens to Hashem. We already explained the tree according to the Ramban. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Vayechu shloshes yamin b'midbar. They walked for 3 days in the desert. Kvar his karti lamala. I already explained the Bab says Rabbeinu Bechaya. Ki kol pu'ula mipula shamidbar haya nisayon gamur. Wow. Ki kol pu'ula mipula shamidbar haya nisayon gamur. Sham sam lo chok mishpa v'sham nisahu. There God gave them chok. Was it paradumer kibur avayim? Kibur avayim is certainly not a chok. U'mishpa dinin shabbos v'sham nisahu. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says, have I already explained to you that all the workings from the workings of the desert were nisonos? Are we going to have food tomorrow? There's nothing in the fridge. It falls in this week's parsha for the first time, but only enough for that day. Amalek comes. We just left Egypt. They're lacking water, the enemy, everything's in Nisayon. V'halichasan b'mibar ha'gadol v'hanora im nishem v'tapam. And they're wandering through this awesome, fearful desert with their women and their children. We're so accustomed to the narratives in the Torah, myself, that we don't stop and think what we're really saying. These nomadic people, for the time being, are schlepping through the desert. How many? 2 million people? 600,000 is only the men. Then you have all the Levium, everyone over 60, everyone ever under 20, and all the women. So it's like 2 million people don't have water for 3 days. We just read it, oh, 3 days, no water. And they're walking through this Midbar HaGadol, this great desert, Vahanora, awesome, Im Nesheim V'Tapam, with their women and their children, V'Amdam Bilti Mayim Shlosha Yamim Bizman HaKayetz. Could they really survive for 3 days in a desert, walking without water? Is that possible in the summer season? Ein ba'olam nisayon kaza. There is no nisayon like this, says Rabbeinu Bechaya. V'kasher bar marasa. And finally they come to Mara. Amru Rabboseinu Zal, the rabbi Zechon Olav Recha, say, ki hayu hamayim mitukim v'nimruru. This isn't even added nisayon. This isn't what we saw in the Ramban yet. The Rabbeinu Bechaya quotes the Mechilta. The waters of Mara were actually sweet. V'sham nisahu. Davku, when the people came to Mara, the water became bitter to test them. It was sweet until they got there. And Hashem made it mar, bitter. That's what the Rabbeinu Chai says. You look confused. Ki hayu hamayim mitukim v'nimru. V'haya kol zel l'nisayon. Once again, it relates to our matzav and our times. It was sweet water. All of a sudden, it becomes bitter and undrinkable. And this whole thing was a nisayon. Ukeinyan sha'amar, like the pasuk says, v'sham nisahu. Taka, it was a big test. They walked for 3 days. How could they survive for 3 days? The whole thing was a nisayon. It's really sweet. Maybe they had a masorah from someone who took a tiyul to Mara previously. You know, when you get to Mara, you'll have what to drink. It's really sweet. They get to Mara, they can't even touch it. V'haya kol zel nisayon. This was an entire thing was a nisayon. Like the pasuk says, v'sham nisahu. V'kasher hit palal Moshe. But when Moses davened bazeh for this, v'hishlich davar mar b'mayim, he also says, Moshe threw something bitter in the water. V'chazu l'mituka tam. When Moshe threw something bitter into water that had become bitter, it returned to its sweet state. So not that it became sweet. It was sweet. It became bitter in order to test them. Hashem taught him about the tree to bring in the Ramban. He threw the tree in. This is all new for me, by the way. I don't know if it's new for you too, but brand new for me. And again, for those who joined Shir Late, you can get the beginning of Mayu Torah. But again, the reason I chose this specific passage is because today is Tu B'Shvat. So I thought it would be nice to talk about an inyan in the Parsha that deals with the tree making things sweet, since today is Rosh Hashanah La'ilan. And Moshe davened, and he threw something bitter into the water. It returned to its sweet state. He repeats, look up there, Rabbeinu Bechaya. This was all to strengthen the nisayon, not to make it easier for them, to make it even harder. Don't you sometimes feel that in life? It's one thing on top of another thing, on top of another thing. And the nisayon is mechazek. V'likboa b'nafsham hamaskeles midas habitachon. Vilikba binafsham hamaskelet from Seichel. Midat habitachon. Or vilikba binafsham hamaskelet midas habitachon. What was the purpose of all of this test? To strengthen. And their nafsham hamaskelet, their sikhli, their soul of reason. You know what Seichel means? You know what nafesh means? It's to strengthen their bitachon, their reliance, and their trust. And God, who could change the situation besides for the Ribbono Shel Olam? Moshe was only a shaliach. Anihu v'nilo acher. Only God could help them. This nisayon of the desert was to strengthen their bitachon. Va'al kein, and therefore, ratzal lahamtikam bidavar mar nes betoch nes. And that's why Hashem, which was such a strong nisayon here, Hashem sweened it with something that didn't make sense. He sweened it with something mar, bitter. It was a nes betoch nes, which was the same lashon we saw in the Ramban. The rabbis say, Vayoreu Hashem eats, which we already spoke about that pasuk by the Ramban. God showed him, or according to the Ramban, taught him about the tree. Rabbi Nassan Omer, Rabbi Nassan says, oh, So now he quotes the Medrash and he gives two different types of trees. I don't understand what they mean, but Haridufani Haya. According to Rabbi Nasan, it was the Ridufani tree. According to Rabbi Eliezer Hamoda'i, it was Eitz Zayet. So I don't understand Rabbi Nasan. I don't know what the Ridufani tree is, but it's some sort of bitter tree. According to Rabbi Eliezer Hamoda'i, it was an Eitz Zayet, an olive tree. When we were Zocha to be in Eretz Yisrael last in the summer of 2019, we did one incredible day. We went to Har Herzl, which I've spoken a lot about, and then we went to Kerbet Hayafa, which was absolutely incredible. It's not open to the public. My life goes back, perhaps when Mashiach comes and this is all over and we should all be well. You are my tour guide's name. I'll give it to you. Highly recommend both Har Herzl and Kerbet Hayafa. So it was an ancient city from the time of King David. It's not open to the public. It's off the beaten track is an understatement. It was absolutely incredible, but there were a lot of olive trees there. And the guy explained to us that the olives, like you see them on the tree, you can't eat them. They're so bitter that when you see an olive like that, you can't eat it. It's too bitter. It has to be cured and picked, harvested, whatever they do with the olives. So it makes sense that it was an Eitz Zayet because we're learning what kind of tree was it. A mar, a bitter tree into bitter water. So according to Rabbi Eliezer Hamoda'i, it was Eitz Zayet. V'yesh armim ikari te'ena haya. I also thought when I was preparing shiur that this is incredible because I specifically chose this topic because of Tu B'Shvat, not knowing what the Mefarshim would say. Some say, one rabbi says it was an Eitz Zayet, which is one of the bounties, of course, of Eretz Yisrael, Deuteronomy 8:8, Eretz Chito, Soror, V'gefen, U'te'ena, V'rimon, Eretz Zayt, Shemen, U'devash. So perhaps a foreshadowing of the promised land that they were supposed to be going to. Some say it was an Eitz Zayet. Some say ikare te'ena haya. It was the roots, the ikar of the te'ena tree. Mikol makom, whatever kind of tree it was, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, bein lamar ubein lamar mar haya. It was somewhere on the spectrum of bitter to very, very bitter. It was definitely not a Jaffa orange tree. So it was a Ridufani tree or an Eitz Zayet tree. Or ikare te'ena, ikar means the essence of a fig tree. Whatever it was on the spectrum of mar to mar. Very bitter to very, very bitter. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, kama mufu ala'im ma'asavu drachav midarche basar v'dam. Look how wondrous are God's ways from the ways of human beings. The Ramban also quotes this. The story with Elisha in Sefer Melachim Beis when he throws some salt in the water. My husband just said the other day at Amud Yomi Shir in the morning, and sometimes you'll note I say this, I was smiling because I said this too. They're learning Maseches Megillah right now in Amud Yomi, so there was a quote from Divrei Hayamim. So Rabbi Willick said, and I don't know enough about Divrei Hayamim. He made a joke, he said to me, Moshe, you know Divrei Hayamim? So I'm going to tell you, don't ask me the story about Elisha throwing salt into the water, because Michal Aris doesn't know Melachim Beis well enough at all. Oily. Okay. However, he put something damaging, salt, into something damaging to make a miracle within a miracle. Just like here with the tree. What about the question that we had? Did they really walk for 3 days without water? They're not all dying? How's it possible? Says Rabbeinu Bechaya. Excuse me. The Kasa Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbi Chananel says, Kom ki masha amar vayechu shloshas tnamim bamidbar. It says they walked for 3 days in the desert. Velom natsumayim. They didn't find water. Hayah haderach mahalach shloshas yamim v'heim holchu b'yamachad. This is very important and helps us understand now they're not all dropping dead. It was a distance of 3 days from vayasam miyamsuf, from the shore of Yamsuf to midbar shur. A distance of 3 days, but there was kvitzat haderach. God sure in the path, and it took them how long? What did I say? 1 day, correct. So there's another miracle. Well, you see, the whole thing was a miracle. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says the lack of water, and this is a very rational pshat, by the way. The lack of water was only for 1 day. You have to say this pshat, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, because it is the way, is it? The way of human beings of flesh and blood to go for 3 days without water? Is that possible? Afki hatav v'hanashim, especially because you have young children. V'hanashim u'barot, and you have pregnant women. U'miniko, nursing. Shahayu b'hem. So he says, even if the men could do it, could the little children, could the pregnant women, could the nursing babies really go for 3 days without water? It's impossible. So Rabbeinu Hanano says, it was a distance of 3 days, but it took them how long? 1 day. Final paragraph of the Rabbeinu Bechaya. Before I get to the final, did someone say something? I'm not going to understand you with a mask. I'm just telling you, I can't understand. I'm sorry. You could post it on the Zoom chat. I feel bad. You want to write and give it to me? I can't understand. I'm sorry. It's good you could understand with a mask, or we'd be in really big trouble. If you want, you could write it, okay? Thank you. So it's something that I mentioned yesterday. I gave actually 2 previous shirim this week on this topic. And I love when I'm able to give 3 45 to 1 hour shiurim, 45 minutes to 1 hour shiurim, 3 on one topic, because it shows you how much there is to learn on a few psukim in Torah. This is my 3rd shiur this week that's totally different on these psukim. It's amazing. The depth and breadth of Torah is incredible. Yes, there are people in shul listening to me. You are all welcome to the 67 participants in Zoom. This shiur takes place live. Someone just said she didn't realize that there are in-person shiur. There is plenty of room for social distancing. You are all welcome to join us in person, like the people who are here in person. Oh, so good question. If it was only 1 day, what were the B'nai Yisrael kvetching so much about? Oh. You know what they're kvetching about? They're kvetching because they want to kvetch. Okay, in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Yud Aleph, Baloscha. The misonanim. Vayukim misonanim ra ba'asne Hashem, vayishma Hashem, vayivar ba'meish. They were looking for pretext, said Rav Salvechuk. Unfortunately, our forefathers in the desert always somehow find something to complain about. I think it's a lesson about us also, not only about them. I also think that taco, 1 day is a long time to go without water. They didn't have manya. This is chapter 15. It's a good question. The man falls in chapter 16, Perek Tes Zayin. So, Mimela, 1 day, besides the fact that it's a lesson that we sometimes kvetch, okay? Well, there's nothing to kvetch about, but it is a long time. Remember, he mentioned, Rabbeinu Bechaya, he just read you, ki hataf v'hanashi me'ubarot u'miniko shahayu behem. A pregnant woman, 1 day, no water, it's a long time. A little child, nursing babies. The mother's milk dries up. I remember one Yom Kippur, when I was nursing, my son was born Beis Av. So he was only 2 months old, and it was full-time nursing, no bottles, etc. And by the end of Yom Kippur, I remember I did not have any milk left. So it is possible to go 1 day without water. Does that answer the question? Okay. So I mentioned previously that in my mind, Hashem showed him a tree, and the tree made the water sweet. The eight is the eight of Torah, and the mayim is the mayim of Torah. Chazal teach us, Tuna Chazal, the Mishle, the Pasuk says, Eitz Chayim hi lemechazikim ba, v'shamchehu mish ushar dracha darchei noam, v'chon nasi v'sa shalom, is a tree of life to those who cling to it. Eitz Chayim hi. So it was bitter. Whatever, because it became bitter, or it was bitter, they were complaining, but lemaisa, something needed to make it sweet. And when life is bitter, what do we turn to find sweetness? One thing, Torah. And once again, I think it very much strongly relates to this year. I get so many messages from people. I'm not saying it because it's me. Chas v'shalom. So many people tell me. I just got a message yesterday from someone that the shiurim helped them so much get through this year. Because it gives us a chiyus. And it gives us a sweetness. Why are we here? The 4 people in person and the 68 participants in Zoom, Kanainahar. Because there's nothing that sweetens life like Torah. So, and it even relates to Vayoreu Hashem 8, the Pshat of the Ramban. Vayoreu is Malashon Torah. Torah comes from the word Mora, Hora'ah, Torah Tzivulan Moshe. Vayoreu Hashem 8, Hashem was teaching Moshe. Remember the Pshat of the Ramban. Hashem was teaching Moshe, you want to know how you make life sweet? Eitz Chaim Hilamecha Zikim Bavisamchem Usha. Those who grab onto it are fortunate because Dracha Darchei Noam, that's pleasant. Furthermore, so the Eitz represents Torah. And furthermore, the Mayim represents Torah. Avodah Zarah 5b, Ein Mayim, Ala Torah. Torah is water. Just like water keeps us alive physically. Can't go 3 days before you would all die. Sometimes you can't even go 1 day. So too, you can't spiritually live without water. So it's not an accident that he threw an Eitz, which represents Eitz Chaim, he Torah, into water, which represents Torah. And he gave them Ktzat Mitzvah, whether it was Paradumer, Kibbut Avaim, Dinin, and Shabbos. Because that's what makes our life sweet today. We would have no direction in our lives. We would be floundering and lost. I would be. Without the Morah, Hora'ah, Torah, by Yireh Hashem Eitz. So I was very happy with the last, I was happy with the whole thing. Baruch Hashem, Torah Hashem Tumima Meshivas Nefesh. Eidus Hashem Ne'amana Machimis Pesi. But I taught this earlier in the week. I mentioned the Eitz was a tree, Torah. So, what does Rabbeinu B'chaya end by saying? U'b'medrash. Vayelchu shloshes yamin b'minbar v'lo matzu mayim. They walked for 3 days in the desert. They didn't find water. So the Peshad, he already quoted Rabbi Chananel. They really walked for 1 day. But it was a distance of 3 days. But now, the Medrash says, mayim shesha'avu lahem bein gizra yamsuf shalmu mehem ba'oso shal. Very interesting. The water that was drawn for them between the gizra yamsuf by Yamsuf now was made up to them at that time. The water that was drawn, Shamu Mehem Ba'oso Shah, was, I don't understand exactly what that even means. The water that was drawn from Yamsuf was now made up from them at that time. So there's a connection that Rabbeinu B'chaya is saying between the water of Yamsuf, Shesha'avu, Avu, the Sh'av Mayim is to draw water, and between the water that they found at Marah. But the last sentence of the Rabbeinu B'chaya, Darshe Vishumot Armum Ein Mayim Ela Torah. We know that Torah is water and water is Torah. Mikan, so you can't go for 3 days without water, and you can't go for 3 days without Torah. You would physically die without water. Your person will spiritually wither up without Torah. Mikan, hitkinu sheyu korim b'sefer Torah shlosha yamin b'shavua, kidei shelo yechu shlosha yamin below Torah. From Mara, we learn, and we instituted the practice of reading from the Torah 3 times during the week so that we would not go 3 days without Torah. When are the times that we read? That we read Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos afternoon. So the institution of having Kriyas HaTorah midweek, not only Shabbos morning, the full Parsha, but midweek for 3 days was instituted because of Mara. Because when a person does not have water, does not have Torah, that's when they start complaining. That's when they get dried up. That's when they feel withered. So I'm going to begin to end by quoting Rav Soloveitchik. And we are talking about, again, I chose this passage specifically because of Tu B'Shvat and the Eitz. We've quoted many insights. The last insight we quoted from the Rabbeinu B'chaya relates to the idea of not going without Torah. We compare the Eitz to Torah. Water is Torah. What is our commitment? What is our dedication? So I'm going to quote from Rav Soloveitchik. I just lost my place. 1 second. I moved my bookmark. I just need to see my notes, what page I wanted to quote in the Rav. Remember, this Shir series is officially Insights and Lessons from Torah HaRav. So to tie this all together, I'm going to quote from the Rav. Beautiful sefer called Blessing and Thanksgiving. So the Rav says, he's talking about the brachos of Birkas HaShachar that we make in the morning. Included in the brachos of Birkas HaShachar are blessings on Torah. We say, La'asok b'divrei Torah, to be involved in Torah. Hamalame Torah la'ame Yisrael, God teaches Torah to his people as Israel. Knosein HaTorah. And in fact, one is not allowed to study and learn Torah before we make these brachos. Why not? Because just like we're not allowed to benefit from water or an orange or a steak or bread before making a bracha can benefit from God's world physically without asking his permission, so to speak, and blessing it. So too, Torah gives us so much pleasure. I mean, if I go into a shir and I'm having a hard day and I'm like a totally different person. I feel completely different. You can't benefit from Torah without Birkat HaTorah. So Rav Soloveitchik says, Birkas HaTorah are not related to the cognitive act of Talmud Torah. It's not related to the intellectual act. Birkas HaTorah are associated with the axiological involvement. Axiological, I looked it up. Philosophical study of value. Birkas HaTorah are associated with the philosophical study of the values of being involved, of being consecrated. Next week is Parshas Yisrael. Consecrated to Torah. La'asok b'divrei Torah means to occupy ourselves, to devote ourselves, to be fascinated by Torah, to be emotionally involved, not merely the intellectual act of study, to be once again fascinated by Torah, emotionally involved, occupied, to devote ourselves to Torah. V'ha'arevna. And I smiled. People on Zoom might be able to see that in my Sefer, I underlined the word. No, maybe you can't see. I underlined the word because when I was preparing Shir and I went to this section, listen what the Rav says. We spoke in the whole Shir about the water becoming sweet. And we ended after we went through the Ramban and all his interpretations, and the Rabbeinu Bachai and all of his interpretations. Final pshat of the Rabbeinu Bachai is we shouldn't go 3 days without Torah. Vayimtiku. Torah makes things sweet in life. Vaharevna means the Torah should fascinate us. It should allure us. It should become sweet in our mouths. And when I read that sentence, I knew Hashem was Vayorehu Hashem on the path writing this shir. Because the Rav says, what should Torah be? Sweet. That even if your life is mar, what was the tree? Bein mar, lamar mar. It was on the spectrum of somewhat bitter to very, very bitter. So what's going to make your life sweet? Torah. V'ha'arevna, it should be pleasant to us. Estivrei sorasecha, befinu, fios amcha, beisrael, v'nei anachnu, v'tzatzainu, v'tzatzaitzatzainu. V'ha'arevna means the Torah should fascinate us, allure us. It should become sweet in our mouths. We spelled the ideal of the Mesorah, the continuity, passing on, tzatzainu, v'tzatzaitzatzainu, but said, say, Amcha Beis Yisrael, Kulanu, Yodei Shemecha. There's the idea with Torah of passing it on, transmitting, perpetuating Torah, belonging to the Mesorah community. And this is not realized, says the Rav, through an only intellectual act. It comes about, La'asot B'divrei Torah V'Harevna, it comes about through emotional involvement. You can pass on mathematics. It's very useful for your child to know mathematics or physics. But with Torah, it's not a question only of usefulness, which of course it is because we have to know the halacha. But here, Soloveitchik is taking a different approach. It's impossible to pass on a value system if you don't love it, if you're not dedicated to it, if you're not devoted to it. We're davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam that the Torah should be sweet in our mouths. And when it becomes sweet, vayimtiku amayim, and then sham sam lo chokum mishpah v'sham nisao. What made the water sweet was the mitzvos we were given in Mara, because mitzvos and Torah make our lives sweet. A man can know many things, but he can only live in one value system. I'm skipping. Axiologically, in our value system of Torah, we require a monistic attitude, one approach. And that means we are devoted to Torah and to Torah alone. Of course, we involve ourselves in other things in our day-to-day life. But our lodestar, our guiding light, the only thing that can make the mar lamar mar, matok, is to hold on to that tree of Torah. It's chai milu machazikim ba. Grab onto v'shomcha me'ushar and throw that tree into the water of Torah. Ein mayim ela Torah. We should never go 3 days without Torah. And when we daven the Birkat HaShachar in the morning, what we're really doing is asking the Ribbono Shel Olam not to allow us to cognitively, intellectually only understand Torah, but to be fascinated, to be passionate, to be in love, to taste the sweetness of Torah and what it adds to our lives. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Achag tu b'shvat sameach. I thank you for learning with me, and I have a wonderful Shabbos. If you missed the first 15 minutes because you didn't